Happy, happy Q Day, and welcome to another episode of A Cuman Perspective. I'm your co-host, Kevin.
And I'm John.
Where we discuss and explore the divine masculine, feminine energy, and New Earth insights. We want to thank BBS Radio for all of their behind-the-scenes engineering, because we wouldn't have a show without them. So thank you so much, BBS Radio, for all that you do. You know, John, I am enjoying having guests on our show. Are you enjoying them as well?
Certainly am, and we have another very special one today, Kevin.
Absolutely. I love these shows because it's fun. It's exciting to interact with our guests and talk about very interesting topics and explore New Earth ideas and insights. And today is no exception. Today's guest is a beautiful being of light who lives down under, and she is fascinated with exploring the potential of reimagining education. As a matter of fact, she has her own show right here on BBS Radio on Fridays called All Learning Reimagined. Please welcome to the show, Teresa. Teresa, welcome.
Yay!
Yay! G'day, mate. G'day.
G'day.
Right on, mate.
Oh, I love your energy and I love your dodgy jokes. So, yeah, bring it on.
Let's see how the show goes. We may have a joke or two at the end. We don't know, but we'll just feel it out, right? Cool.
We'll wing it.
I know.
Thank you for welcoming.
Yeah, you're down under, so definitely a different time frame. It's 4 o'clock here on the Eastern United States, and I think it's 6 a.m. tomorrow for you. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, it is at the time of recording, because your show is 1 o'clock in the morning for me normally. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's much easier probably to listen. If you're going to ever listen, to listen later on in the afternoon instead of early morning, like at 1 o'clock or something. So I understand.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Teresa, if you wouldn't mind, could you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your connection to education?
Absolutely. This is something I've always been interested in. Even when I went to school myself, I was the nerd that just couldn't wait to get up and go to school. Not because I wanted to, sit in desks or anything like that. I just wanted to connect with people, and I loved learning. I loved being able to practice a new skill and try something else. And so it feels like play to me. And my whole career, I've been teaching for 30 plus years. In many different fields, you know, I've taught in London. That was an experience, because I actually taught in inner city London and none of the children spoke English at the time. And that was 25 years ago. That was a real trip. I've taught in outback in Australia, in little bush schools. I've taught on distance education, where we're teaching over the internet. I've been a deputy principal. I've been a teacher librarian. I've team taught massive classes. I've been in massive cities. I've been playing in this space for a very long time, and I'm quite passionate about the freedom of children learning and the freedom of choice. And I just know that it's part of my mission here. It's why I'm here, and I just love it. There's just, you know, so much that we're going to need to relearn moving forward. So it's a big job.
Yeah. Seems like you've been on the right track for a long time now, and the world is just now trying to catch up. You know, we see in the news now of how much the education has been corrupted and are kind of making all of us, for generations and generations way back, even our grandparents and their parents way back there, they've controlled the narrative. You know, they have brainwashed us into thinking a certain way, and it's all based on workers' mentality, work, 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 you know, and obey and all of this stuff. And now that it's all coming out in mainstream media and in other modalities. So you've known for a long time, actually, that this this has been the wrong course and that we need to reimagine education. We need to rethink it. We need to go to a different path. And so I applaud you in the fact that you've known ahead of a lot of other people, if you will, on trying to figure out a different course, a different way to teach our youth. And perhaps us also as adults need to rethink and retrain our brains and our thinking on how to re-educate our children, you know. So I think it's just awesome what you're doing. And I've also loved listening to some of your programs. You bring up a lot of very interesting concepts, a lot of interesting ideas, and you've done and put into practice a lot of the different ways of educating our children and stuff. I remember one of the shows, maybe not what, not just the last most recent one, but a couple of shows back, you were talking about kind of like homeschooling you know, homeschooling, I guess, what, back in, that came out in the 80s, 86, 80s, late 80s from Sweden, if I remember right, something like that, where they started their homeschooling practices there in the Netherlands, I think. But you were talking about homeschooling and in particular something about a learning grids. You were talking and passion projects, and you even mentioned in the program something about a date, dating your family or something like that. It was kind of really different. Can you expand a little bit on some of those ideas that you were talking about?
Absolutely, Kevin. As you know, I can talk all day. I love it. It's fun. I really find, I don't know what it is, my inner being, my greater being really shakes its head when we say that homeschooling's new, because we've always taught children at home. Like, you think back even in Lemurian times, for example, or just 100, 200 years ago, it was normal for children to learn at home. And so there are a lot of people who are saying it's the buzz thing, it's the new thing, and it's alternative education. It's not alternative, it's natural. It's natural for your children, for your family who love you, to not hand off your child to a stranger to learn. You might have a tutor come into your home and learn in your home environment and help because they've got expertise. But and that's the flip of the whole Rockefeller, let's get factory workers out there. I want workers, a nation of workers and not a nation of thinkers. Let's take your children, put it in an environment where they are raised by people who you really don't know. And now that we know what we know, we don't even know if they are human or what's in them or entities or the agendas that are indoctrinating them at a very young age, which actually links back to, the Anastasia theories and her philosophy about that as well. And so I don't really know, I think intuitively throughout my career in this lifetime that I remember, I've always known this. The last probably 15 years, there's been a massive swing globally towards homeschooling and distance education and children learning from home online or whatever modality it happens to be. But in the mainstream classroom space, I always like to play with different things. And every year, I ran the classroom collaboratively with the children. We negotiated what was important to us. I would interview, like, conference with the children. We would do walk and talks around the oval. Out in the grass, and I would individually just have a casual chat with the kids so I could feel into what their home circumstance was, what their values were, what they loved, what their passions were. And then I actually morphed my classroom into a space that suited that collective group of beautiful little beings. And so that kept it fun for me because it wasn't the same thing year in, year out. And I didn't do it every year, but I often would interview the parents and the ones that were able to. Sometimes I do phone interviews and talk to them as well. What do you want your children to learn this year? What do you value at the end of the year? What, how do we want to, what are we, where are we moving towards? What can you do at home? What can I do to help you? And the home learning grid, which I created, was done in consultation with the parents. Not the child first. because this was in a primary school and I didn't know what I knew back then. Like now I would involve the child straight away, but back then I thought the adults knew everything. So, you know, I'm still learning. When you know better, you do better. But I always started with the parents first, and we always had something on the grid which was about gratitude and self-reflection on where the children were at. There was always something to do with music, something to do with exercise or sport or movement. There was always something to do with helping out around the house, chores, or responsibilities at home, depending on where, you know, what their family circumstances was. And it was written into the homework grid, basically. Personally, I don't like homework. I even the words homework just sounds energetically blah. So we called it home learning. Today I wouldn't even mention, I wouldn't even say home learning. I would probably call it play, or expansion or exploration, or I'd have some sort of thing, or I'd negotiate the name with it with the children. That was very successful. And the other thing I would do lots of fun things. So if you completed, or there were other things on the grid that the children needed to complete in their own time, at their own pace, over the course of that term. So some of them, of course, wanted to do everything and sort of finish it all in the one time, in the one, 1 week or 2 weeks, and others did it all at the last minute because they, you know, didn't really want to have to do it, which, you know, I totally get. But for fun, we would do things like if you completed your homework each week, the basic stuff that they were supposed to, then you were able to earn, let me see, like a bread bun. Because we, and every week there would be an ingredient that they would earn. And at the end of the term, we'd have a massive barbecue and they could only eat what they earned. So some children got a piece of bread and that was it, others got a full burger, a fruit platter, the drink, and they were late, pigged out. And they were eating all of it in front of the kid that got the bread bun. Some kids got bread bun and then they might have earned the butter. So, and I, we did that sort of stuff for fun, or it might have been a pizza. They got an ingredient for the pizza. And we would always have some sort of celebration where we would eat and gather, but they only eat what they earned. And it was that sense of accomplishment, I guess, rather than, you know, a sticker or a pat on the head. Things like that were really fun at the same time. And at the end of the first term, after we would come back and we would always reflect, I'm a huge person that believes in reflection and children self-reflecting. How did I go? What didn't work for me? What can I do about that? What were my barriers or challenges? Who, how can I help myself? Who can help me? All of these sorts of questions. I still today have questionnaires for children to do, although I'm working in high school at this stage. It's a really important part to go within. How did I feel about that? And go back and reflect. And it's not done enough. Our education system, in my opinion, and this is, I can only talk from my experience, so I can't talk for the whole world, but it's really designed for you to focus on someone else giving you grades, someone else judging you, someone else telling you whether you are worthy,
All the
instead of the
judgments.
child or the person doing the learning going, what do I feel about myself? What's next for me? And self-directing. So all this time, I mean, I was doing this 30 years ago. I didn't know what I know today, but intuitively I just knew that this was the way that we move forward. And when we reflected at the end of that term, when we negotiated the original grid with the parents, then I allowed the children to come in and they had a say. Oh, I really didn't like this. This didn't work. Loved this. This was great. Let's keep this. Can we keep that for next term? And we would negotiate. And I'm a tough love person. Like let's just tell it to you true. They got used to that after a while, and they, because they knew I was coming from my heart space. If I don't tell you the truth, how are you supposed to grow? So sometimes you have to do the tough love because there would be some children that didn't want to do anything. I didn't understand at the time, or understand at the time, that I was stepping all over their sovereignty. I know they're a bit better about that now, but at the time, yeah, there were different personalities. It was really interesting to listen to the little children, like one of them, like one of my brothers, who just wants to play outside all day and go fishing and crabbing and play with his dog and do those sorts of things, we were able to negotiate things like hanging off a tree and building the chook pen. That sort of stuff could have been negotiated into the homework grid. I know that's a really long-winded answer,
That's good.
but
That's
there
fine.
was no one size fits all. It was all about living, learning, and exploring and expressing yourself. And the passion projects were, which was on the grid, choose a passion project could be anything. So that was really, really fun, I think. I really think. Yeah, I'm going to stop there and then I'll go back and talk about the date if you want to.
Teresa, you had mentioned homeschooling. It's such a difficult option for anyone today with how the Luciferians have set things up here. You know, it's pretty much they, it has to be two breadwinners in the family just to try to make ends meet. And I recall even the kids, taking my kids to the daycare. I wasn't happy with that. Most of the folks at the daycare would be late teens, early 20s. Here they are basically raising your kids while you're out working. You know, I had a real difficult time with that. And but it's, you know, it's something that we just can't do, and hopefully in the future that'll change. And as a parent, I loved being able to get involved when I could with their field days and field trips, all that kind of thing. So I can see in the future that the parents could be more involved with even a group, a school, you know, in terms of being there, going on, doing certain things, assisting the education of their kids. And how do you see that? Do you think that would be a good thing and welcome that you know, parents could assist the teaching, I guess, or the guidance with a teacher like yourself in play?
Absolutely. I mean, today I don't have any parents in my classroom today, which feels really quite weird, but it's the culture of the place that I'm working at, temporarily working at while building behind the scenes all of these future things. And my early classroom teaching, I always had parents in the classroom and grandparents. They were constantly there. There was always someone there, in the
Wow.
room, and it was really welcoming. And I really loved that. My dream, Johnny, I shouldn't even say my, I should say our, because I've connected and spoken to so many beautiful beings over decades, is I see, I foresee as a bridge towards where we're going, learning hubs, learning centers, learning environments. I don't even know what word to put on it. I just know I don't want to call it a school. You know, Loosh spelt backwards a school. I see beautiful buildings, lots of gardens, tinker sheds, unusual playgrounds, mixed with technology that we don't even know about yet, and blending of all of these things. And I see it being a community hub where any age group can learn from each other. And it's a little bit like the kin schools, the Chittingen schools, which are based on the forest schools, and the Anastasia books, where they're very small groups. You don't have class sizes of 30 children. There might be very small groups of 5 or 6 or possibly 10 or 12, and they're all learning from each other and helping each other. And there are grandparents or neighbors or people that have that expertise. A big issue today that from talking to people is that a lot of parents today are so de-skilled, myself included. If my daughter, who's currently in grade 12, needed to have help with a certain subject, there are things that I just don't know. I don't know that. How am I supposed to know that? I don't comprehend. I don't understand. So I would need to get a mentor or someone else that knows what it is if her passion goes in an area where I don't have the expertise, and we can help each other. So I don't see a one size fits all, but I do see us harnessing all of our beautiful retirees out there who are just gold mines of information and skill sets and beautiful heart sets, and getting them involved in teaching what they, and it would be good for them as well, because then they would
Oh, yeah.
also have that purpose, sense of purpose, in handing back the knowledge. And we need to come back to respecting and cherishing and loving our elders, who are holding that wisdom. So I
Right.
absolutely see this vision, and I foresee that communities will build these centres themselves and negotiate with the people, and it will organically grow on the needs of the community. If it's a seaside town, it will be very different to the Australian outback, for example, where they have a completely different needs and values depending on what that community wants.
Right.
And the freedom where people can choose to not have to work. I mean, we know that there's shifts coming. How far away that is, well, I sense there's quite a few things happening right now, obviously, but the whole shift, the narrative right now where the parents are so pressured, they're so distracted, they're addicted, but with technology, everyone's been sucked in with a mobile phone. You just have to walk down the
Right.
street, every person has one on them. It's very scary, actually, how quickly, it was only a couple of decades ago we were running around and we didn't need to. We weren't available 24/7, which is emotionally exhausting. And the need for both parents to work has been a very nefarious little plot, and it's worked for them. My advice for any parent that I talk to, that's worried about this, they're not in a position to be able to homeschool, is just do what you can with what you have, with the time that you have. Even if it's just before bed, telling a story, having a conversation, and instilling what happened today, and then rebalancing whatever it was that was really programmed into your child today. And I've seen some horror stories about indoctrination. I know that's not necessarily everywhere, and some of that might be propaganda. I totally get that because we're creating our reality. So it's just that when you've got a half an hour, say, hey, let's go outside, let's go for a bike ride when I possibly can and on my day off. Or maybe one parent can try and work part-time and see what we can do. I don't know, everyone's circumstances are different, but it's just do what you can. Consciously raise your child. Don't just go by default because someone else is raising them. Someone else is literally raising them. And before you know it, they're gone. And that beautiful influence in this first 7 years, 7 to 9 years, after that's done, their little personalities predominantly are heavily influenced and set in the subconscious. It's very difficult to get that time back, and that connection back. But I believe when you work with people, your hearts go in sync. You sync up. It's that masculine and feminine energy as well is really interesting in that space. So nothing is undoable as far as I'm concerned. I know we've sort of been told that it can't be undone, but I don't believe that. I believe anything. We are creator beings. If we want to do it, we will find a way, and we can harmonize our frequency and our resonance. And there's just so much we don't know that we can play with. So that
Yeah,
would
you're
be
so
my
right.
advice. Yeah.
And you mentioned about the devastation of two parents working. It's absolutely true on the families. And that's been a great tool for the cabal. And so now you've got two parents that are trying to make ends meet. And it's really broke up the family unit as we would know it, and being able to be together. And as you were saying, with maybe the mother can stay home. And or the father, wouldn't matter which one, but you get that parent that's with the child, and we've lost that connection. And you also mentioned about perhaps different age groups being together, like maybe someone that would normally be in grade 12, 18, and now they're working with someone that's in kindergarten on a joint project. What a way to keep in touch with your child. And as you know, we've all been separated from that imagination time and that child within us. And man, what a way to bring that around. That's a really good idea, I think. When you said that, that really put a light on in my mind that not that separation by age or by gender, all that kind of thing. And the educate and now with all this more information that we have, this I don't know, it's not new information, it's old information that's been kept from us. And how do you see that being worked into a new system? In terms of I'm talking about it perhaps health benefits or what food's all really all about and have perhaps how to garden or all those types of things that we really don't know much in school. They teach us to be stupid, all these equations and all this kind of thing, algebra and all that stuff that you'll never, just makes you frustrated and you'll never use it again and all that kind of thing. And all these valuable things that could be taught to us, whether it's nutrition or, in terms of taking care of ourselves or just basic skills or even who we are spiritually and how to take a time for our spirits and get in touch with them. All of this new information. How do you see that working out, and how would you implement that, do you suppose?
Oh my gosh, that is like such a loaded question. Such a good question, but a loaded question because I still don't know what I don't know.
Yeah,
Every couple of
right.
weeks I'm learning something else or remembering something else and peeling something back and going, oh wow, my paradigms keep shifting. Probably 5 or 6 years ago, I was like, what? I keep finding things out, or I'd have a dream or remembrance, or I was actually conscious of my being in another body having an experience. We are omnipresent beings. And I can comprehend that and talk about that now. But 3 or 4 years ago, I was completely confused. What is going on? And we are the way showers. There are a lot of people coming behind us that still do not comprehend this, that they haven't scratched the surface yet. So I feel like this has to be a layered approach when people are ready, when they are ready for it. And because so many people are addicted currently to, I'm going to get up, watch cartoons, go to school or work, or cartoons, or the morning show, or whatever it is that they watch. I don't know. I don't watch TV. Do 6 hours, 8 hours, whatever it happens to be, whether it's work or school. Do a scheduled activity afterwards. Possibly exercise if they do. And if they do that, it's not in nature. Let's go to a place that's four walls, has stereo, Wi-Fi, all of this stuff, and go and work out. Tell your body that you're healthy and go home, cook dinner, watch, I don't know, binge watch Netflix for hours until you fall asleep. Rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat. So to unprogram and unplug everything that your subconscious has observed, because as we know, well, maybe people don't know, the picture and image is one of the most dangerous weapons on this planet, because you can shift, you can shape someone's reality, someone's perspective with those images. You're literally programming that person's mind on how things are. Look at the image behind you with the curvature of the earth. And then you've got all of these different psyops that are out there. Is the earth flat? Is it round? Is it hollow? Are there beings within? Are there not? Who is NASA? Not a space agency. There's just so much that is ingrained in us with the stories, the fairy tales, the whatever it happens to be. And we've had not only decades of it, centuries of it, a long time for them to get the narrative and to shift how we think and feel. And so even though some people who believe that they might be awake, and I am consciously using the word believe because there's a big difference between believing and knowing, they
Right.
believe that they are awake, we are all programmed, all of us.
Oh, yeah.
And so how we're going to unravel that until we get our full memories back. And I don't know when that's going to happen. There's a lot of theories around what's going to happen at that space, but I suspect we've organically been doing that for quite a while now. And our greater being, ourselves, our inner selves, knows what they're doing and they know what we're ready for. Some people say, I want them all back now. Well, you'd probably implode if that happened because your little brain wouldn't be able to understand it. So I feel like it's going to organically happen. I feel like the children that are coming through are the ones. That's why I feel we need to have multi-group learning, because the young ones will also be doing the teaching. They might need a person that's taller or stronger to physically hold something while they're hammering a nail or doing something with those sorts of skill sets. But their heart sets and their resonance and their frequency and that knowledge transference can happen with a look, can happen with a conversation or a laugh. There's a lot that can happen with instant transference of knowledge, and it doesn't have to be sitting down with repetition, repetition, repetition in the book. As we know, or as some people know, the pineal gland, there's a big theory that the pineal gland, which of course the New Age religion is holding it up like a beacon. Everyone needs to do this with their pineal gland and activate your DNA and do this and do that. Now, I'm very suspicious of any of those narratives that are being pushed right now and pushed hard, and the pineal gland seems to be a big one. And we've got quite a
Oh, yeah.
few very brave souls out there that are telling us that it is an implant in our bodies, one ring to rule them all. How can they blank us? How can they cut and paste us with time through the pineal gland? They can influence our thinking and thoughts through the pineal gland. And some people say, oh, well, it's calcified because of the fluoride in the water. There's countries in the world that don't have fluoride in the water. Pineal glands are calcified as well. What's that about? It's calcified. It's been crystallized because it's not natural in our body. It's an implant. So there's so many different layers towards us being able to capture our own information and go back to learning from ourselves and from each other and of any age group. And the whole narrative or plan to put us in grade levels, you must be with someone who's your exact same age. I'm sorry, you were born the month before. You have to wait a whole nother year before you can go to school, even if they're ready. And young children, breaks my heart. I used to see a lot of beautiful little boys who had so much testosterone going through their body, they just needed to be outside, run, play, explore. And they were thrown into settings they were not ready for. Men and women learn at different paces and they learn in different ways. So there are just so many levels to everything that you said. I don't even think I've answered your question because it's just huge. I
It's
feel like it's
yes.
going to organically happen when people are ready. I think it's going to take decades, personally, possibly generations for some people, depending on the timeline they're on, for some people to unravel, unlearn everything that has been done to us. Some will get there faster. And then, of course, once you've found someone that's done something faster, it probably took that person a long time to learn. Others will see it and go, oh, and they'll get it really quickly. So it will gain momentum and speed up really, really, really quickly. But I can't give a timeline for that. Kevin?
I you had mentioned about, oh, sorry, Kevin, go ahead.
I was
Sorry,
going to say,
Jeff, go ahead.
it's all right, Teresa. I understand. I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I think I feel that one of the main ways we can kind of get out of this dilemma is to get out of those brick and mortar classrooms and get out into nature and stay into nature, and that's where our learning
Right on.
environment should be, right there in nature and not in classrooms with fluorescent lighting and this other government controlled type of curriculum, and I also like the fact you mentioned a word earlier, sovereignty, and I really like the idea of perhaps treating our children with respect and them having sovereignty, I mean, yes, they're going to be children, and children should experience what a child should experience, but also we should incorporate, or I shouldn't say should. It would be nice that we could incorporate a meaning of respect to them, and kind of treat them a little bit like an adult. Don't talk to them baby talk, but talk to them naturally, like you would any person. And I think I also feel perhaps critical thinking skills would be something would it would be nice to incorporate into their learning, provide them with maybe certain situations and see how they could think or work create a solution for it, I would like to perhaps see lifelong learning and not necessarily have learning from September all the way through May, as far as that's school, and then you have 3 months off to play. Perhaps it could be more of a continuous, year-long, lifelong learning and utilizing your home learning grids, and discuss with the parents what they feel they would like their child to learn, which would also probably incorporate maybe gardening and learning about vegetables and learning ab about fruits and proper nutrition and respect for the earth and giving gratitude, and respect for your own self, understanding the God that you are inside and understanding what source is, and these kind of things. You're kind of going back to the basics, really going back to the basics. But the key point is to learn in the environment, outdoors. and not in a
Right.
classroom. And that's kind of where I would like to see the education, and put it in the community where there is a community learning center in the park somewhere where all of the children and all the families go and incorporate those grandparents, because they've got a lot of wisdom. They have a lot of wisdom, you know, and the grandchildren or the grandparents, were at least the older individuals 60 and up, could mingle with the small children and teach them, and both could teach each other. Throw in a few animals in there too, you know, and learn about animals, things like that. I mean, you know, I think that there's a big opportunity to change the way learning is now and integrated into the future. That's kind of what I was leading towards, you know.
And when it's a nice experience, it's not a chore.
Yeah.
Learning becomes an experience, an involvement. You
Right.
know, my oldest guy, when he was 8 years old, he decided he wanted to have a tree house. And of course, he wanted me to help him build this. And of course, my adult mind, I got out the level and the square, and I'm trying to figure out, he picked out the trees he wanted to go to, and I'm trying to get everything leveled up and so on. But then he had his own idea. But Dad, I want to come over to this tree, and I would like the wall to be like a slant. And he had all these angles and stuff he wanted to do, slant on the roof, going this way, another one that way. So it's his trio. So I went with it. It was quite fun to build it with him that way, actually. Even the windows. He wanted the windows at angles. And like a square window became a diamond shape. And but we went with it, and it was a lot of fun. And of course, his younger brothers were all in the same field he was, and we did that. It was quite fun, and it ended up being quite a big treehouse. And gee, we used to sleep out there in the night sometimes, so closed in. But it was a fun thing. But again, I would not have built it that way. If he asked me to build him a treehouse and then come out to look at it a few weeks later, it would not have been what he would have thought was a treehouse was. And as I say, when it was done, it was quite nice. And so an 8-year-old had a pretty good idea in his mind what he wanted, and it did end up really cool. And so I can see those sorts of things. And when you had mentioned, Teresa, about the younger folks working with the young or the older folks and all that, I can see it where that would be a really nice experience for everyone. And
And
then with
it
all
doesn't
this
have to
new
be at
knowledge
school.
we
Like
Yeah,
your
right.
example, your beautiful example, like what a great memory. That it doesn't have to be a lesson. It doesn't have to be timetabled. It doesn't have to be at school. It doesn't have to be scheduled. It can be an organic thing. And he's used his creative process. And I bet he learned a lot, like, a lot when you're building things, physically building things is amazing. Every school or learning environment should have a tinker shed. Where you take your old broken bike and you go in and say, okay, how can we fix it? What can we do about this? That whole recycling and one man's treasure, trash is another man's treasure. Like you can actually rebuild, repurpose, that problem-solving thinking, which is the critical thinking, Kevin, that
There
you're
you
on
go.
about.
Critical thinking, yes.
Very true.
Right.
And that whole exploring, expressing, experiencing, and the whole, Kevin, when you mentioned before lifelong learning, absolutely agree. At this stage, though, in my experience, on school holidays, everybody sleeps or gets sick. We are so exhausted, mentally drained and exhausted, that I know it. Well, just about every teacher I know, it takes us at least 2 weeks to get out of our mind space and even calm down. The amount of cortisol pumping through our body from the stress of the job. It's a hard job. And any teachers that are out there, I take my hat off to you. You're an amazing being. You're very strong to be able to deal with our little Bart Simpsons running around with their attitude, thinking that it's cool to disrespect, and then or the gaming children who think it's okay to harm someone because you can just respawn. Like they're programmed to not love and be gentle and to see nature and caring.
Right.
There's some very violent children in our schools right now, and it's not safe. There are people being attacked constantly, and not only verbally, but with the spelling, the physically. And it's you got to put your headgear and mouth guard in some days when you're going into some of these environments. And those people brave enough to do it because they love these children and they show up every day, I really respect them. And I know they get a bad rap. I totally get it because, and I know there are a couple of people in there that are not so good. I get that as well, but we have to come back to what is important. And this scheduling children with all of these hours a day, you know, 1 or 2 hours in the morning with your biorhythm, when your brain is fresh, to be able to do your literacy or whatever it is that you think is important. And then the rest of the day, playing, exploring, go and have an apprenticeship with the local business, go to the creek. You know, there's just so many things you could do. And I would love for the community learning hubs, I've spoken about this before, to have a bartering barn. So when you make something, build something, you collect the chook eggs, go and harvest the food, go and preserve it and make jams, put it in the bartering barn so that they get a sense of, they don't have to have money, a sense of what is something worth. And if you don't have anything to barter, you can barter your time and your energy. I'll go and weed the garden. I will go and help with this, with your skill sets. It can just be organic. It doesn't have to be, I'm going to judge you, I'm going to give you a grade, and then that's going to determine your self-worth. Don't get me wrong, it cannot be a free-for-all. If we go from what we have now to a free-for-all, it will just completely, it will be messy. For a long time. We would work it out eventually with the rhythms, would certainly go, but I feel like we do need a stepping stone towards that freedom because we don't know how to be free. We don't know how to be free. Just like a prisoner in a prison, you get them out, they don't know how to be free. We're in exactly the same situation. But that problem solving, having that sense of purpose, and I'd really love to see that, how can I help or serve or contributes the word to the community. If the children have a sense of what can I do to contribute to the community, and it's fun for me, it's play for me, that's what they're meant to be doing. And that's the way it used to be. Having the pets there so that they're not so self-absorbed, they have to care for another living being to keep them alive.
Responsibilities.
That responsibility, a lot of children don't have responsibility.
No.
Many of them do. I'm not going to say that blanket thing because there are pockets in the world that are already doing this. They're just amazing. It seems to be in the Western societies where we have been
Oh, yeah.
so stripped back from nature and so disconnected from ourselves. And
For sure.
the key is little children already know their own mind. They own, you know, that little terrible twos that we call them, or tantrums, freedoms. They're just expressing their boundaries and expressing what they want. They know exactly what they want, exactly like a cat does. If a cat doesn't want to do it, it's not going to do it. Learning to put in healthy boundaries is really important, but if children can learn to listen within themselves, how do I feel about this? And learn on the subtleties of feelings and emotions. Emotions are energy in motion, but it's also our feedback loop. It tells us when something's wrong and how we're going with it. And we've been numbed, or possibly overstimulated is even another thing. We're constantly overstimulated, so we are missing the subtleties of our own self, giving us the red flags of this is not the path, or you need to rest now. It's okay. You know, going and teaching us from the beginning, from a young age, to listen to yourself and be able to tune in to what's next. Does this feel good? Does this feel right? And that's where the passion projects will come from, when they're excited. You know, even down to things, Johnny, I spent half my childhood up a tree. I was constantly up a tree. If I found a tree, I'd climb it. I just loved them. They were my friends. But today, if I was going to build a treehouse in a tree, which is a fantastic project, I would ask the tree permission. I would actually touch the tree and say, you know, do we have permission to build in you? Is that okay? And I would tune in and get a sense, would I do this? Now, me even just saying that 3 years ago, I would have thought I was mad. What do you mean I can't touch a tree? What are you talking about? But I'm growing and I'm morphing and I'm learning. I'm learning from other way showers who are showing me the way, because I hadn't considered that it was a conscious being. I knew it was alive, but I didn't understand the whole concept of everything has some sort of level of consciousness. If I go into a forest, you ask permission before you go in. There's a beautiful permaculture farmer not far from me, and he had some indigenous elders come to his property, and they actually, I don't know what the word is, some sort of ceremony, but it was almost essentially like a contract with nature, that nature can come and eat from his permaculture farm, but they are only to have a little bit, and the bugs stay away, and for them to just quarantine this area because the food is for the community. And he doesn't have a pest problem. It's amazing. And when we walked through his property and he had a lot of cows, he actually stood at the gate before we went into that paddock and asked the cows permission, are we okay to walk through here? And they all mooed at him. I was like, what am I seeing here? They answered him, they responded. And then we walked through a bull as well. We walked through the paddock and I looked at him and I said, why did you do that? And he said, well, I always ask them permission. This is their space. This is their home. I'm asking, it's just, this is what you do. Like all of these little tiny things, we don't learn this in school. We don't learn how to grow food, harvest food, cook food. If they are cooking classes, it's pre-packaged food from a supermarket bought in. Some children have no idea where the milk and the meat came from. What do you mean bacon's a pig? We hear all of these comments all of the time. They're disconnected from our natural way of being, and that is changing. I won't say it has to change because it already is changing. I don't have all the answers. All I know is when I don't have the answers, I take my shoes off, I go outside, and I listen to myself. And sometimes I ask the question outside because when I think in my head, pineal gland's kicking in. I'm using my mind energy. I tap back into my heart, ask the question out loud, and the answer will always come. And if it doesn't come within the next few minutes with an image or a thought in my mind, the next minute someone will turn up and they'll have a conversation and they'll say something they'll say what it was that I needed the answer for. So looking for the signs everywhere, our greater being is communicating with us constantly, but it's the subtleties. We have to slow down to be able to tune in and listen to it.
And
And
listen.
no one is the same. Everyone's path is completely different. There are a lot of people that will want to be just told what to do, but that's their stepping stone.
I would like to use the word understanding. They have an understanding between each other, right? You know. So,
Good one.
So, but I agree. Also I feel adults and children alike should learn to be grateful. Ask for permission before doing something. Recognize and respect sovereignty. And then also, I think it's important that again, both adults and children should become more aware of who and what they are, of being from source and are of source and are of creators, and and respect themselves. And love themselves because of what they are, as far as creators, and of source. So I think those are very important issues to integrate within themselves, So,
Yeah, for sure.
yeah.
The
I agree.
Anastasia books speak of what you're talking about there, Teresa, in terms of asking for permission to go into a forest or into an animal space, or even asking the forest or nearby trees to keep pests out of your garden, or this is for the humans, whatever. And those are the types of things we've totally lost, that who we are and that we can speak to source and source's creations, which is everything around us. So to get in touch with that is, and that kind of teachings to the children would be really good. It's actually absolutely amazing and astonishing to me that children can still function at all when you consider the chemicals that are put in them at birth and vaccines, all this kind of thing, in their food, in the air and the water, and then the education they get from video games and TV and music and telephones. It's hard to believe that they can even function. It's incredible. to me that even that they can even. So it shows you how incredible beings we truly are. And the kids today, they're far more under the gun than you and I were growing up. It's
Oh,
gotten so.
they are under attack, absolutely. And
Yeah.
but some of them aren't coping. You know, a lot of them are being, oh, I don't know what the word is, harvested by technology. They are hollowed out because they are so ingrained in these computer games, and that's just all they want to do, and they really lose their mind. Their soul and their spirit is almost, a harvested sounds really creepy, but that's what it feels like to me. And we have a lot of mental health issues, a lot of anxiety, which personally I think is a lot of the nervous system. The nervous system is being attacked with all of the frequencies that are being beamed around us. And Anastasia books used to talk about the fact that every new man, you know, baby that's born is completely sovereign. So, you know, we've been born into a system that controls us and tells us that we are a slave, pretty much. But the whole sovereign, and I like the fact that she talks about that the child's education actually begins with your own education as an adult. The adult needs to educate themselves and get themselves sorted because the children, you know, our energy is infectious and they will read their cues. They will copy, they will mimic us as a baby. So if we have a happy existence and our own balance with what we eat and we respect nature, and have a sense of who and what we are, then that's the best education they can get in a few years of life as well, because we are transferring knowledge just through our frequency, our harmonics. Even though I don't necessarily understand it yet, I know that it's true. I totally know that it's true. And you can sense your child when they're even in the room. You can sense when something's wrong. That whole telepathy on different levels, an emotional level or a feeling level, is very real. And getting and growing up and getting them out into nature, particularly young boys, who have that testosterone and surges of it going through their body, they need to move. Sitting in chairs would just drive them stir crazy. They need that physical movement and that stimulation for something that they want to do. And that sense of achievement when you've built something, you can't beat that. And there's nothing, you know, adults today, and I am guilty of this, are either a lawnmower parent, they want to mow down all of the problems before their child gets there, deal with it, or a helicopter parent, they want to hover over their child in case they need them. And we have now got generations, because it's not just one generation, of children that don't back themselves. They don't trust themselves. They haven't learned failure, which is failing forward. They haven't learned to go, oh, if I that whole treehouse collapsed because I didn't do this. The parents are coming in and rescuing them constantly when actually we are hurting them. It's that egg, that the chicken trying to get out of the egg. If it's breaking it from within, if you crack the egg and help that little chicken get out, that chicken will not survive because they had to do the inner work. And that's what we are no longer allowing them to do in these situations that we call schools. I didn't see it years ago. I must have sensed it because I've been doing a lot of these things and embedding within the system. I thought I could change the system within the system. It's not going to work. There has to be a completely different way. And the movement towards all of these, they're labeled alternative education, but actually it's going back to the way it's meant to be. It's a remembrance education, really. The shift and swing towards that is massive. And that's how the current system will crumble, because everyone will vote with their feet. They will go, what's going over there? Well, oh, look how happy these children are, these families are, the balance. We've been sold this bill of goods that we have to be successful. You have to own all of this stuff and you have to earn this sort of money and you need to look like this. And it that whole shallow, you know, walking around taking selfies with duck faces and stuff like that. Yeah, I don't know if some of these people can come back from it, but if you know, have a good set of questions and curiosity, that's all you need. You just need questions to
Have you
learn.
considered animals that have not lost their connection to source? They know how to, a bird, for example, knows how to make a nest and hatch an egg and raise the ch yeah, child and the young, and then teach them how to fly. All those sorts of things just comes from their connection with source, and they just get it. And I wonder how that will change once that connection starts happening, because we've all lost our connection to source for the most part. And I don't know how much time we have left, Kevin. Do we have how much time do we have left there? Do you
We have a
know?
little time if you want to throw in a sad joke. Otherwise, we've got roughly about
I have
six
one more
minutes.
question for it, and I wonder if,
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
okay, I have one other question. Maybe you can answer as quickly as you could. I don't know. But how have you, is there any of your cohorts, any of your comrades in teaching that you've talked to about some of this stuff? Do any of them get it? If so, or how do they see this with you? Are you kind of standing alone?
Well, it's a really good question. No, there are definitely people around me that see this and that have that connection, full of light, of course. However, they do see a sense of hopelessness of, but I've got a mortgage to pay, and they are trapped in the rat race, and so they see it, they believe it, they want it, but they cannot comprehend at this stage how do we get there? So and I feel like so many amazing teachers have walked away since COVID. They just walked away. The woke movement coming in, there's a lot of teachers that I know who've just said, I can't teach this, I'm sorry. And then they've just walked away. And that was a really difficult thing for them to do because they didn't want to leave the children, but they couldn't, in all consciousness, teach the curriculum that had been handed to them. So, and I've had conversations with them, and they're not all from this country. They're from many different countries. I'm on quite a few different education groups that are global, and it seems to be fairly common. There are a lot of people out there that would love to work in this space, but it would be how would I survive? How would I pay my bills? That sort of stuff. And then, of course, your NPCs are still parroting the narrative that we need to, but you can feel out who those people are now. And I feel like the breakaway is already happening. Those people who want, they have that strong longing to go back to basics and simplify. No, I'm definitely not alone. There's lots of us,
Well, it's
lots of
awfully
us. A lot of
encouraging to
them,
know that
however,
people
are
see
not
that.
necessarily speaking out. They're not brave enough yet to speak out and say their truth. But
Okay.
if you build it, they will come, basically.
Awesome.
In droves.
Okay, Kevin, you want to have a little laugh, do
Well,
you?
yeah, let's go with just maybe one joke apiece, because we don't have that much time left. So, John, if you want to start us out.
Oh, okay. Since we're on education, there's this teacher, and she's having a hard time with her young students teaching them math. And this one little gal, Sally, she just can't get it. And the teacher said, "Well, what's 1 + 3?" It was a simple question. And she's got really frustrated. She said, "Darn it," she said, "Sally, now what does a cow have four of that your mother has two of?" And by golly, t Sally told her, "Aura." Oh,
Okay, all right,
that's
John.
a little bit of a.
Okay.
You go.
You got to be able to milk a cow to get that one. Okay.
Oh,
All
Johnny.
right.
Oh, Johnny, Johnny.
All right.
They get worse.
Yeah. So I've got one. The English teacher says, "Give me the opposite of this sentence. Children make mistakes in the dark." A few moments later, a student stands and says, "Mistakes in the dark make children." The English teacher said, "Get out, get out." Yeah.
Oh,
Yeah.
no.
Geez,
Oh, I like
Kevin.
that one. That's a good one.
Yep. I also
Your turn,
changed.
Teresa.
Yeah. I changed my password to incorrect. So whenever I forget what it is, the computer will say, "Your password is incorrect." Okay, I know that was sad joke. I'm
Oh, that's
telling you,
something I would do. Yes.
sad, stupid
Oh,
jokes, you know. Anyway,
jeez. Oh,
Teresa, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. And again, how can the listeners catch your show here on BBS?
Oh, it's always fun to play with you guys.
Okay.
I have a half an hour time a podcast. It's only 30 minutes so that it's digestible for busy people. And it's Friday for America, but it's Saturday morning for Australia. And it's called All Learning Reimagined on BBS Radio. Beautiful BBS Radio. Love them.
Awesome. Yeah. I've listened to some of your programs and I thoroughly enjoy them. I really do. You've had some interesting guests and you do talk about a lot of different concepts and you are a way shower when it comes to education and I applaud you. Very good. All right, guys. So stay tuned
Yes.
for listeners to Sojourn with Humi and her crew next here on BBS Radio. John, you got anything to say? Last
Oh, just
final
want to
words?
thank everyone.
Okay.
Yes, sure. Just want to thank everyone for tuning in, and thank you, Teresa, for your time and all your knowledge today. Always impressive. Thank you so much.
Cool. John and I will
Beautiful.
see you all again in 2 weeks on Acumen Perspective. Peace out.